This is Moments with Foo with James Foo Torres, better known as Foo, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet, hear their stories, and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. Moments with Foo is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Foo.
Hello and welcome to Moments with Foo. I'm your host, James Foo Torres, but you can call me Foo. It's the name of the show. And today I have Tiffany Sieber. She's head of talent in fractional CMO or CMO for embedded recruiting. And I'm going to let her tell you more about that. But first, Tiffany, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Foo. Great to be here today. Love your style and jacket. Great way to start the day.
Thank you. It's like an authentic retro, I think it's like 90s, probably Toronto Raptors jacket. You know, like I got it in this place in downtown Portland. It's a great find. I love this jacket.
Yeah, shout out to Vintage.
Right. Oh, so let's kick it off with a good introduction about yourself and your company.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, I'm Tiffany Sieber. I'm the founder and fractional CMO and head of talent of Embedded Recruiting based out here in Silicon Valley. I am a native, so groomed to support and build technology startups from zero to one. Embedded Recruiting is focused on partnering with founders and early stage companies and hiring managers in order to scale or grow your business. So I often will walk in and work with a founder on a couple of different areas of the business, specifically on marketing. So building out content, websites, collateral, brand voice, and a brand guide, which then leads to talent management or talent development. So building a soup to nuts full cycle recruiting system, advising on a tech stack from marketing automation to applicant tracking systems, and then supporting any sort of executive coaching with performance management and investor relations. So really focused on helping your company attract and retain revenue, talent, and capital.
Revenue, talent, and capital. I like that. So you seem to focus on not only making sure that you have the right talent, the right operations, right? You even touch it in the leadership, but then, okay, now that I'm inside and make sure that everything was good, now I'm going to let the world know and go into the CMO role and go and, oh, let's make people know. And hey, I organized this so I can tell you from, you do the marketing from a lens of you are in the inside working with the operations, the leadership, the culture, and the attracting the talent, retaining. So it sounds like you, that's why you have such good perspectives. I mean, the last conversation I had with you was very insightful. So that's why I invited you here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it's really critical, to be embedded inside a company culture, to really understand the mission, the vision, the values of the organization, because we're all here to contribute to society and make an impact. And, you know, I'm very focused on raising quality of life, right? And so I really consider what is the product, what is the team, and what is their contribution to that social impact? Because, you know, you can't necessarily do it all, right? And so having the right people in your team and by your side definitely makes doing it all much more possible. But having that sort of intimate view of being cross-functional across different industries and across different verticals has really helped me after 15 years of, you know, business growth expertise to sort of walk in and develop some very customized strategies that work, that are repeatable, that are data driven, that are also cost effective, right? I am sensitive to budget. A lot of, you know, mom and pop shops or early stage companies, you know, they can't really swing a massive monthly budget, fee for these kind of services. And so walking in to sort of offer those, business development strategies from a very early perspective with a broad scope of, impact, is really satisfying to me. First and foremost, I feel like I don't work a day in my life, because it's just fun. But also it's a science and an art, right? The science is really the experimentation, the leveraging and analysis of data. And then the art really comes across in the tone and the voice of the company and sort of how you relate and connect to your audience. And so I really just love the challenge. And of course, working with great people and building a great network, makes it part of the fun.
I love your perspective on this, on something that you enjoy, being so immersed. It sounds very similar to what I like and what I do too, and that's why we connected. And I was very when I saw you, we were talking. I was like, I was appreciating your insights. I was like, yeah, like I think these things, but it's cool when you find somebody that. It's focuses also focuses a lot on the strategy and being very very open on looking at the whole picture rather than focusing on, no, I'm very good at Facebook ads, so I'm gonna do Facebook ads, but rather coming into a client with an open mind and let's put everything on the table and what do you have in everything and you even I do it for just the marketing door for now, let's say. I don't know, I'm considering opening door because you do now like the head of talent, and I'm guessing is as you kind of evolve into these things of learning more, doing more things in the company, right? Like you got those two avenues. So okay, let me see everything that's happening in the talent side. Let me see everything that's happening in the marketing side, and then create a strategic plan that we meet that where we at right now to where we want to be in a most efficient way and break it down into short term, midterm, and long term. That's kind of how I do it. So I'm pretty sure you'll do it a similar way.
Yeah, absolutely. The analogy I like to use is seeing the forest through the trees. It's really easy to back up and see the 10,000 square foot view, but to get down into the details and the tactics requires a lot of collaboration and focus and prioritization, right? And then when we are budgeting along the way, right, being agile and being nimble and being able to flex when it's necessary and pause when it's critical, that's also part of the fun and the challenge of just, getting through each day to meet those goals that have sort of been decided and aligned upon. And one of the key reminders that I have to my founders is I can always see the forest, but what I can't always see are the trees, right? Because there's going to be conversations and details that are going to happen that I need a regular cadence of being looped in on so that the strategy and the plan continues to evolve as the company evolves. And so this is just about maintaining that close connection and close communication. And that's really where the executive coaching and performance management piece really comes in. A lot of the times I've noticed that companies, when they start to scale and really build out their employee base and get to about 15 employees, the attitude of the employees goes from what's good to the company to what's good for me. And so, as sort of a third party advocate for the company who really partners closely with the founding team and with the executive team, it's consistently coming back to what is best for the company. And that's really my anchor, right? Is continuing to draw everyone back to the mission and the vision and the values so that the plan, as well as the tactics, are continuing to focus on that immediate and long-term strategy for what's good for the company. And it's, I found that founders, rarely have a sounding board. They rarely have a safe space, if you will, to say, here's where I'm blocked, here's where I'm stuck, here's where the problems are, And also, like, let's celebrate. Here's what went well. Here's what I crushed this week. Like, here's, something I see on the horizon where I might need help, right? And so, just kind of having that 1 to 2 hours where it's a confidential environment where we can problem solve and strategize and, sort of have that 1-to-1 communication and sort of work through those kind of, sticky moments where it could be an angry customer, it could be an employee relations issue, it could be a cash issue, right? And just looking at, here's what's up. Like, how can we move through this? Because there's always, always, always a solution. But it's when we kind of ignore or deny that there's issues that they actually become problems, right? And so it's just being in loop of those. And so I really take an advisory approach to my consulting services. I'm really in it for the long haul. I would say a typical engagement is a year and a half, right? And my goal is honestly to eventually fire myself, right? And so I typically take a company from 0 to 50 employees, and then about 50 employees, it sort of is the right time to hire in-house for either CMO or head of people, or head of talent, if you will. And so it's just kind of based on the strategy and the prioritization of the organizational structure. But I'm always available to kind of continue on the thread of the most value that the company or executive team needs. So it's just, again, it's really a choose your own adventure. And my business model is structured to be agile and flexible and adaptive.
I love that. I love that. And growing in a company in the most efficient way basically is the goal in just in short, right? And doing it through the talent and marketing and even thinking that you said a couple of things like first position yourself and as somebody that is, look, I'm here to almost be a growth partner with you, or someone that is there to, that is in the company, right? Like I'm acting as the CMO. I'm in it. I'm head of talent. Like I'm in the company. I'm not this service provider that comes here to provide just the service. Like you're in it. You're invested in this. Sometimes you can even get percentage in these situations. And that way, it's like, look, this is part of my company, right? It could be just in paper, not has to be equity. But also can be equity, right? And then that
It's
approach is
equity.
okay, yeah. I mean, it could not be, right? Too, and that because it works. I've done like ghost equity, for example, like the phantom equity. It's like paper equity, top line revenue, right? And that's something that I'm working on. That one of my clients, the DOS, and taught me that basically. So, it's such a better approach. My point here is that it's such a better approach than being a service provider. It's like just pay me and I'll do my job and that's it. I'll do my part. It's like I'm part of your company. I'm invested on growing your company because especially when you have percentage, it grows my revenue too, right? I'm part of this. So having that percentage, I think, or just having that approach, it's the what I see like the future of the this. Agencies for marketing, also for like leadership and talent, right? Because it's kind of it's been broke proven that it doesn't work with somebody's not invested in really inside of the company. It's very hard unless it's very specific. As there's clear SOPs, technical work. When it comes things that take strategy, you need to have a lot of exposure and even as a fractional CMO or a fractional CXO, right? Because this applies to other positions. You are focused more on seeing the forest, right? Seeing the whole thing and moving the macro. When it comes to the micro, that's when you, I think you mentioned that you integrate the coaching and just something that is more integrated to get into those conversations into the trees, so to speak. And I really like that metaphor, and I'm definitely gonna use it. I've heard it before, but you reminded me, and now it's fresh in my head.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, it's a mutual investment, right? And I'll oftentimes, really get to know someone before taking a step into collaboration because it's a personality fit. It's a culture fit, if you will, right? On sort of how does this individual, receive feedback? How do they adapt, right? How comfortable are they taking direction? How do they recover when they fall down, right? And, what's the community around them and what is the market opportunity, right? And so really taking the time to do the due diligence, especially in the market now where there's a lot of, to your point, like phantom AI, there's phantom tech, there's phantom opportunity, and some folks are just really incredible salespeople, right? And, the substance has really got to be there as far as the grit to execute. It's really easy to sell an idea. It's really easy to have conversations about what could be in wax philosophy, right? But it really comes down to like, how does this founder or individual actually move the needle in the direction of growth? And so, I knit the threads of the relationship slowly, in order to validate the opportunity mutually. And so that's where the, investment opportunity and incentive really comes into play. And I just know myself, like I'm a really hard worker. I enjoy the challenge and the problem solving. And so if I'm going to invest, I want to also feel invested in and know that the time is going to be taken to, share along the path and the journey. And something that really motivates me just in general is innovation, right? And learning about some of the cutting edge tech. A lot of my history and experience is in deep tech, so robotics, embedded systems, which is a combination of hardware and software. I love business services and SaaS products, anything to basically build efficiency and create transparency for organizations. I've got a history of working in climate tech and in and cybersecurity, as well as some large enterprises that we use to search pretty much every question that we need, right? And so really understanding the soup to nuts of, how does the tanker, if you will, the giant enterprise sort of move through the market? What's the speed? What's the tech stack? Like, what's the innovation present there? And it's a good learning experience, right? To kind of oscillate between a very large opportunity and a smaller sized organization. And I've ultimately found that being nimble and agile and moving quickly is definitely more attractive to me because innovation doesn't wait, right? The market doesn't sleep. And, running lean and running fast is really how you get ahead of the competition and make a splash and are able to sort of communicate your advantages to the val and values to the market. And so I just really enjoy sort of being on that cutting edge front. And again, I just love what I do. Lucky.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you have gotten your hands, let's say, on so many different areas of a company that it seems like you have a very good perspective when it comes to problem solving in a holistic way when you look at such a zoom out, because you with the experience, you even said cybersecurity. You said so many things that it was like, wow, like I couldn't even remember all of them. Like, it's just so many different areas. I was like, wow, it's like another one, another one. I was like, wow, there was so many areas that you touched that definitely that gives you a great perspective. So I think it's a great segue into asking you for some actionable tips or advice for the audience, giving your expertise. I mean, you seem to have expertise on a lot of things, but if you want to focus on maybe the last thing that you're working on.
Sure. I would say, having a brand identity is absolutely critical. You have a couple of different brand identities, right? You've got your audience or your ideal client profile brand identity. You've got your partnership or market brand identity, and then you've got your employer brand identity, right? And so just being clear about who am I, right? And who am I as a founder or a business owner, and what do I stand for? And then what are some of the key words and expertise and niche experiences that would be associated with you, the brand, be it the company or be it the employer? So starting there and sort of identifying, like, who am I? What are the 10 keywords that I want people to tag me with, right? And when they think of me, this is what I want them to think, right? And so just starting there, right? As basic as it sounds, right? I highly recommend reading the book, The Startup of Me by Reid Hoffman. It absolutely changed how I think of myself as a business leader and a business operator, because you are your brand, right? Who you are, how you show up, your integrity, your quality of work, how you perform, and so is your company, right? So sort of starting there as a foundation, that's definitely my first sort of practical step forward, if you will. And then secondly, and this might be controversial, but I actually believe that from a marketing perspective, email is dead. I think it is a giant waste of time, as far as producing, the copy and the graphics and the automation associated with any kind of marketing emails. I think Google is very filtered now into how those emails are distributed and, who they reach. And it is definitely not something that I recommend as far as putting any budget into. And so with that said, my big focus when it comes to marketing is how do I create inbound traffic? And you create inbound traffic by being an expert in your field and communicating research and personal data points that your company has case studied, and really taking the scientific approach to how you are solving problems for your ideal client and letting them self-educate, drawing them in and attracting them to your experience, to your service, to your product, right? And then communicating about it. It's a really hard thing when, you're a client and you have a problem and you're going out to the market and maybe you don't quite know how to solve it. Nobody likes admitting that they don't know what they're doing, right? And so you want to give them an opportunity to self-educate and take them on the journey of getting to know you, getting to know your brand, getting to know who you are, getting to know your price model, getting to know what to expect, what it's like working with you. And when developing content, they can really get a very strong look and feel and results expectation by visiting your website, by visiting your LinkedIn page, by reading your blogs and your case studies and your testimonials. And just, they say that content is king and community is queen, right? And so, you're just basically drawing in your community. And that brings me to my third point is business happens through relationships. And a cold email is not going to be a good start to building a relationship. And a cold email is likely not going to convert a relationship into a paying customer. And so, my advice is how can you make a relationship feel familiar and build rapport and create warmth and trust? Eventually, over time, that will lead to a check. And it's about getting out there in person, meeting people for coffee, having virtual conversations. It's going to events. And most importantly, having the mindset of being in service. How are you in service to your community? How are you standing as a pillar of ethics and integrity in your business operations? And what are you willing to trade or share as far as your intellectual property and knowledge? And give people an opportunity to, make that relationship grow, build that connection, and sort of choreograph that dance into a client partnership relationship. I think that we often kind of rely too much on ads in order to be able to convert absolutely cold folks. And that's just a massive cost structure versus a $100 ticket where you could go to an event and meet and shake five hands and reach out and have personalized experiences that you can draw upon. And people read energy, right? When you're in person, they can get a sense of who you are and what it would be like to interact with you. And if they're not a client now, referrals are an incredible opportunity. So again, just kind of getting back to basics, in setting up your brand identity, and looking at, who your clients are and sort of how you're in service to them. And then, going out there and shaking some hands and getting to know people in person. I think those are kind of my practical baselines, if you will.
I like that you start with brand, so that's something it's what represents us, especially now. You also touch on content and how to now you with your brand making something that you portray yourself as an authority because you're knowledgeable, and then something that is memorable. That's how you start building that brand, and people see and recognize, and then can associate with positive things, right? And that's how they see that they know, like, and trust, and they buy from you. So I don't believe that email marketing necessarily as a whole is dead. I think that the cold email, yeah, it's rough. It's getting rougher by the time. And the one thing that I see is if you can just ignite a conversation and adding value, it's like, hey, I want to interview you for something in the media, my podcast, and things like that, and you're gonna have genuine value that they value, not study them like they already value this. And obviously there's testing periods that you're just testing out, right? And this also goes with any cold reach, right? This is not just cold email, just any cold reach. That That's something that's gonna go completely go away, and it still works. But I think you even mentioned it's like super costly, and it's not the best way to start a relationship anyway. I completely agree. So that's why the inbound really resonates with me in building community, having content that nurtures, and then there's the email that is content also nurturing, but now it's not like a cold email, right? So and even the paid ads, same thing. If you use it to get more eyeballs, that will then nurture people. And if you want more value, just follow my page. And then let them raise their hands if they want to have your product or service. But just educate, have that brand awareness, and give value. Just give as much value as possible. Educate, and people, if you position yourself properly and you have the right brand identity, people will just raise their hands after they consume enough that people. It happens to me, like sometimes they feel like they know me because they, seen so many videos of me or things like that. And that's the feeling that you want to cause. But ultimately, the main goal of marketing, in my opinion, it's just let's start a relationship. Let's build a relationship with the right people. So that's why you're very strategic on how you position yourself and the brand identity. And now that we build a relationship and seems like, I'm giving you value, their energy too, like it makes sense. Now, if business needs to happen because it makes sense, it will happen because you have a relationship. So that's how I see it, and I think you see it a similar way. I just wanted to give you my perspective on that.
Yeah, and I value that. And to your point, I think, it's the long game, right? And I think a lot of, operators, business owners, founders, they expect, outbound marketing to work in a month, in 2 months. It's really a 6 to 9 month game, right? And you've got to trust the spend, right? And so if you don't have anywhere between 25 to 50K to drop in that time period, it's just not going to show you the type of results that you're really looking for. And so that's where I say, that's w where the in-person comes into play. Because if you don't have that type of capital, right, and you maybe have $5,000 to spend over 6 months, I would highly recommend, the guerrilla marketing approach of getting out there and shaking hands, because, taking 10% of that needed budget is going to likely produce much higher ROI So that when you're in year two or year three and you do have the type of capital to spend on ads and emails and a very sophisticated sort of outbound approach, then you've really got the data to have interesting conversations. You can personalize the approach based on the personas and really sort of dive in into a more sophisticated outbound model. But just from what I've, seen, it really takes a pretty hefty spend. And so I just want to, set that expectation for folks that are listening when they're just sort of starting out in that first 12 to 18 months about how to allocate capital in order to get the best ROI. So it seems like, we're definitely aligned. It's just a matter of the game of time.
I really like that. It got me thinking about the validation process that I take my clients on, which is let's build a foundation. Like, what's the target market? What's the mission? What are the values? What is that unique thing that we have, right? Unique selling proposition. What's that distinguishing factor that we have that we bring to who what we do it, what we do, who we do it to, and what's that distinguishing factor, right? That's like the formula for the USP that I use. And that when we those are basically assumptions. Could be educated, right? You do market research and things, but ultimately it's those sort of assumptions that we basically package into a validation script, and then we go and we go to market with that, and we now test it. And that's kind of like that guerrilla marketing, right? Like, we go, hey, we ask for feedback. Just give me 20 to 30 minutes. I am going to they tell you my assumptions basically, and you're gonna tell me if they're right or not. And if they decide to raise their hand and say, like, actually, you are correct, and I do have that problem. Can you actually help me? And then you can come in and be like, hey, actually, I'm launching this new program, this new version of it, whatever the case may be that you're validating, and now you can sell them, right? You can change to a sales conversation. So it's not like you're trying to trick them, like you're just trying to help, genuinely help and validate something. So if they are not, or they are not ready at the moment, or whatever the case may be, you take the feedback. That's what you came to you came for initially. Like, that's the main reason. The other one is just if it happens, it happens, right? You take the opportunity. But you take that feedback and you implement it, and as you go, and then you get enough sales, because if you're doing this correctly, some people will raise their hand. And if you get like 5 to 10% of them after they're doing 10, 20 plus people, you're like, okay, cool. I can see this is resonating with the market. The language is there. Maybe do some tweaks along the way of what you got from the ones that close and the other people that seem like a good lead. You even fill out your pipeline for other people. And then now that you have validation, now let's talk about advertisement, right? Now we have some validation where we now we're sure. Okay, so now that we know them well, where do they hang out? Oh, they hang out in here. Let me just maybe go offline and put a billboard in where they hang out, or make a partnership with an association where you're sponsoring something in their newsletter or whatever, right? And doesn't need to be just the traditional, like, oh, everybody's doing Meta ads, everybody's doing Google ads, right? Like, and that doesn't mean that they don't work. Is there's such a broad spectrum of different opportunities online and offline that when you go into that validation, that guerrilla marketing, right? Like, where you just let's not ignore spending a lot of money, let's just validate this with my network, with my reach, the least amount of money. And now that we know, and we even make some money while validating, now we know we feel safe investing into advertisement to then it's just a matter of just getting more of those eyeballs. So that's how I see
Absolutely. I
it.
completely agree. And I think another word for testing is experimentation, right? And looking at the continuous nature of that, right? So once something is validated, which typically, again, takes longer than we all think it does, right? And there's luck along the way of making that assumption where you've done the research, you've had the conversations, you've failed and tried again, right? And then you realize that, to your point, you've sort of found your stream, you've found your stroke, you've found what's resonating and it's converting. Okay, great. And closing that loop and having those conversations with those customers and clients, understanding, is this meeting your expectations? What would you like it to do that it doesn't, right? And continuing to dig into the data of the success of those conversions will then enhance the opportunity for experimentation, right? So the mindset of continuation of learning of your company, your product, your value, and how the market is seeing you, I mean, that right there is a full-time job, right? And I think it's really important for executives to understand that to operate a business and then to refine and continue to grow a business, you know, those are different jobs, right? And so you can't really expect yourself to do all of them. So again, it comes back into how are you creating an opportunity for yourself to scale and grow, and what are those strategies, and how are we putting the information and the resources back into the business from what we've seen that works and fails? Because there's just enough information when a client doesn't sign up or doesn't take the ticket, right? And having that opportunity to say, where do we miss the mark here, right? And again, just building out that continuous conversation and not getting in a fixed mindset, not being rigid about what you know must work or does work, because people are fickle, the market is fickle. And you know, staying nimble and continuing to evolve with it, like that's how businesses stay in business, right? You have to have a quality level, you have to have an expectation level, but you have to maintain a curious mindset, right? And that curiosity is about collaboration. And that's a communication skill, but it's rooted in data. It's rooted in asking the right questions and having that closed feedback loop for ongoing assessments. And I think a lot of companies miss out on that opportunity. And I know, you know, it's a full-time job. It really is.
And that's why we have jobs doing so much strategic work, you know. So requires a lot, but it's it, you know, it's solving problems is a very natural human thing, and some people also like them more than others, and so clearly we both like problem solving, especially strategic problem
Absolutely.
solving.
And I think to your point, it's just getting real about like what brings you energy, what lights you up, what doesn't feel like work, right? What do you do with ease and excitement, enthusiasm? And then what are the things where you're dreading? And what are the things where you're like, I'm really not good at this. It's a time suck. It eats my energy. Like, how do I outsource this? How do I delegate this? Right? And getting really honest with yourself about the risk tolerance there, right? Can you really risk doing this poorly? Or is it worth taking the bet and spending some budget to give it to somebody who's enthusiastic about solving that area of the business for you? Because ultimately, that just comes down to like the grit that you're going to make it. That it's going to happen, that you're not going to give up, right? And so if you just continually invest in the truth of who you are and delegate the rest, then scale and revenue and, you know, and building the company of your dreams, I mean, it's a calculated response. It's a science. It's continuous. I mean, it's just continuing to follow along like the order of operations, if you will, right? And then the art is the fun and the excitement and the nuances that happen in between that sort of make it interesting and agile and different, right? And that's, you know, I need the balance of both sides of business in order to fully exercise my brain. Because there's the science, right, of the calculation of operations and the what must be done according to math, right? Money and revenue is math. And then looking at the art, right, of the brand and the communication and the community, right? Or the connection, which is the other side of the brain, right? And so we're really operating on all cylinders here. And the core of it is just being honest about who you are and what you're good at and what you enjoy, and letting everybody else help you doing that too.
Yeah, I love that. I think very similar. I use different words, I have different perspectives, but when it comes to that 30,000 foot view, I think that we look at the same forest, you know, maybe at the trees we look at it differently, let's say. thank you for coming here. We drop a lot of knowledge. This is one of those that you kind of have to pro listen a couple of times to get everything, because we drop a lot of bombs. But tell us who you're looking to connect with and how can people find you?
Yeah, thank you so much. So my website is embeddedrecruiting.co.co. I have a lot of information there on my client list as well as services. And I'm looking to connect with, founders or pre-seed early stage companies. I typically work in technology, but a lot of my experiences and services are relatively agnostic. So happy to, open up to conversation. If it's just sort of a meet and greet where I can do a quick Q&A, happy to do that free of charge. Or if you're looking for a longer term engagement, happy to discuss what that business model looks like. Again, my model is really intended to be budget friendly, because I'm sensitive to the state of growth, right? But I'm also looking to be a partner, right? And moving through the longer term opportunities and looking how that's mutually beneficial as far as incentives. And so, yeah, happy to connect. And Fu, thank you so much for the time. It's been a pleasure. I'm also on LinkedIn and, would love to answer any questions or, field any problems. Again, this is my joy, and I'm happy to be of service.
Love it. I mean, I know that I've done good use of your time asking you questions and discussing things, you know, bringing my perspective, which are similar in some ways. And but you know, I'm in it, you're looking as an outsider. I think that was a very good dynamic, and because finding somebody that can think strategically from a different perspective is always exciting for me. It's like, oh, perfect. So because it's not. There's not many of us in the big scheme of things, you know. There might be thousands of people, but when on such a big world, I love when I find people that are very strategic problem solvers. I would call that, and we can get into that very raw problem solving, and without being too objective or without being too subjective, right? Being very objective about what's happening, what is what. We want it to look like. So perfect. So
Yeah, and just
thank you for
shooting
sharing.
it to you straight, right? I think that, just being direct as well and not being able to say the hard things. I think that that's definitely a necessity when it comes to growth, right? And kind of, being that mirror to where the blocks are or where the opportunities are. And to sort of share again that my coaching services, right, really focus on promoting the individual through the career path, right? So I'll also partner with people who are looking to get a new job, looking to change careers, like looking to get promoted, right? And not just people in companies, right? Training people through the hiring process. So that looks like interview training, resume development, LinkedIn profiles, and offer negotiations, right? I build hiring strategies and processes from the bottom up. So I have the inside track on what is to be expected going through the process of getting a job. And it's also a calculation, right? And so giving folks an opportunity to kind of mock interview me and also them, putting them in that situation where they can get a clear history of their experience and then communicate it, right? It's about building rapport. It's about building confidence mutually because it's a mutual interview, right? It's does this work for us to work together? And so that's also a big part of the career coaching or executive coaching. And so just wanted to offer that as well.
Yeah, very well equipped, I would say, that you are with all these different experiences, and it all comes down to being able to take all these different experiences through that you had in life, and use that to help, right, to service, and look, this is what I am capable of, and if just come in, let's have a chat, let's see if we can just build a relationship first, if it makes sense, and it's fair, we create a fair situation for the both of us, great. If not, you know, there's my free content, there's some stuff if you want to ever revisit a conversation or just look at the content out there, right? So that's a good thing. So thanks again for coming here. I look forward to have more conversation with you. I know that I've had some good ideas and good results from it. So I'm excited to see what else can we do. Thank you again, Tiffany.
Likewise. Yes,
So
thank you, Fu. A pleasure. Thank you to the audience as well.
this was Stephanie and Fu, and this is us signing off.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Moments with Fu with your host, Fu. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we will see you on the next episode.